listening to Vet Candy.
Hi, this is Dr. Jessica Turner, and you are listening to Living Well with Dr. Jessica. This is a space where you could come to discuss all things health and wellness related with the best of the best in the field. And I could not be more excited about my guest today. When this podcast was kind of being born, was still in the development stage, Renee was the very first person that was brought up that had to be on this show because she is just a wealth of knowledge in so many things that I think speak to general well-being. I'm just honored to be able to introduce her and help me to welcome her in. So Renee Michelle is a nationally recognized well-being speaker. She is a certified life coach with a special interest in mindfulness and meditation guides. She is the co-founder of Get Motivated, and that is a space that I can't wait to learn more about because it is just an opportunity for her to come together with her co-founder to create a positive impact in people's well-being space and culture within veterinary medicine, which we all know is just so important right now. That interest was sparked from her having nearly 20 years of experience within the veterinary industry as a hospital leader and technician. So I know that I'm like on the edge of my seat to find out more about your story because the little bit you've shared with me is we have a lot of similarities with having personal struggles with our own well-being that has kind of led to a shift in our trajectory of careers to just having this passion for helping others with their own well-being. And so I would love to officially welcome you on and just allow you to share a little bit more about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jessica. Yeah, so early on in my 20s, I'd say within about 5 years of being in veterinary medicine, I started from the ground up, you know, in an apprenticeship role in kennels, moving to receptionist, moving to assistant, and then team leader and things like that. I really began to struggle with my mental health and well-being. And I was diagnosed in my early 20s with chronic anxiety, depression, insomnia, chronic back pain, GI illness, and then just a plethora of other secondary ailments that continued to pile on. And I remember the first panic attack I ever had. I was in surgery with my owner of the practice who, mind you, my first practice I was at for 11 years. So I grew up at this practice. And he had asked me to work an additional shift on the weekend. And I immediately said yes. I didn't give it a second thought. I immediately said yes. And then within a few minutes, I lost complete composure. I was shaking. I didn't know what was happening. I couldn't breathe. I excused myself from the surgery, walked down the hall into my manager's office where my manager was and then his wife was. And his wife helped to manage like logistics and books. And I put my back against the filing cabinet and slinked down and just completely lost it. And I had no idea what was going on. And so it was at that point, my manager, luckily she knew, her emotional intelligence was much higher. I had fantastic, we'll say what I consider to be enlightened leaders. And she said, well, first and foremost, you're not working this weekend. And so she helped me put up a boundary. And then it was like, okay, now what's the next step? Because whatever's going on internally, this internal turbulence is affecting your work and like your entire being, your entire life. And it just permeated from there, right? And there was a point in time, years into my experience, when I was managing all of these different, we'll say, ailments, that I was doing all of the things. I was doing the cognitive behavioral therapy, I was on the medications, and yet I was still really symptomatic. And once I put well-being in the driver's seat, everything else changed. My work changed, my schooling changed, my state of being changed. And slowly I was able to come off of those medications, put those troublesome things behind me and move forward in my life. And it wasn't until in my 30s when two things happened. I was far into my career and I was going through a divorce, because now I'm handling what I consider to be like big girl problems, right? We're not talking 20-year-old problems. Like, we're talking distribution of assets. You know, I lived in another state and I'm divorcing this person who I've known for 10 years. It wasn't rocking my world. Yet 10 years prior, if I didn't get an A, if I had a boundary that was permeated, I was, you know, nearly catatonic. And then the second thing that happened was that I was working at a clinic where people, when I started to talk about my experience in vet med, they were flabbergasted that I would have ever smoked a cigarette, that I had ever dealt with anxiety, that, I mean, it was like a different person. And I started to talk to Dr. Holly, and we recognized that we were not anomalies. He was in the process of overcoming his well-being challenges, and his looked way different than mine, but the solutions ended up being very, very similar. Get Motivated was born out of the idea to just write a book. What things are effective solutions to radically transform your life? And then very quickly, it grew into a company, and we pivoted to where we could begin caring for the caregivers. And so Get Motivated was born in 2017.
That's incredible. So I want to clarify, I'm curious, and I'm sure others listening are curious. When you had that moment in your 20s, in that scenario within your clinic, you made it sound like you weren't aware of what was going on. So were you dealing with any diagnoses at that point?
That was the tip of the iceberg, I think, was that first panic attack. And then it snowballed from there. You know, and I've got some theories around all of it, but that was the tip.
I think that's so important for people to hear, because I know now, looking back, I was living with depression and anxiety for a long time, but did not know how to identify it. And it wasn't until I had my twins and was walking through postpartum depression. And like you, I was doing the things. I was on medication and, you know, it just was not seeing improvement the way that I felt I should be. And just kind of got to this point where I know that there's things that we could do in the well-being aspect of things that isn't necessarily driven by medication alone. And so that's when I really started diving into nutrition and exercise as forms of managing things. And it allowed me to get off of medications after a year of, you know, developing a rock solid routine with things. But that kind of opened the door to me seeing, I've actually been dealing with depression from a really early age, from other things that kind of were sparked. We kind of just like push it all in a closet and shove the door.
And we also misdiagnose it, right? So what I'm learning now is that we've all experienced some sort of childhood trauma, right? And it's not dealt with. And so we sort of misdiagnose it and we put it in the closet, what have you. But also that predisposal doesn't mean that it has to be that way. You know, and then this is tough, right? Because mindfulness teaches us to be non-judgmental. But with the human experience that we're having, our egos are designed to compare and things like that. But when I look at other people and compare myself to, say, my significant other, there is a lot less work that has to be done for him to mitigate his natural feelings of anxiety or sadness. Whereas me, depression and anxiety are like, knock up, are you ready to have me back yet? You know, they kind of like, they're really close. Those demons are, they're farther than what they ever were, but it's just this predisposition to being sucked back down. And so it's a choice. It's a choice every single day to make decisions that support and not just cultivate, but maintain your level of well-being. whatever that might look like, and to understand that. And here's the really big thing, right? And you probably experienced it too with your experience, is that it's not a blanket thing. And in our culture, they treat as blankets. And sometimes it's effective, right? It might stop the bleeding, if you will. But at some point, you've got to individualize the approach, right? Because what works for you might work differently for me, even if we're experiencing some of the same symptoms.
You got to find the source of the bleeding.
Exactly. Exactly. And then when you get to that point, you can really begin to manage it. And that's shifting from that victim mode into this empowerment mode, because now you can manage it.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like I'm a living, breathing example of everything you're saying. I went through some really traumatic things in the middle of vet school that I did not deal with at all. And it led to me having anxiety on top of pre-existing depression. And again, none of that really came to light until I was found in this place of postpartum depression after my girls. And the last 6 years, I have been working so hard on practicing all of these different things that we could do to well-round our well-being. And I can't imagine facing the last year and a half or even last 2 months without having that foundation. And I think so often we are so good about taking care of other people and we completely become blind to our own needs that we don't realize that we need to think about these things until we hit a rock bottom of sorts. And that's kind of where I was 6 years ago. But once you start becoming aware and you start practicing these things and you see the impact that they have and your ability to kind of not lean so heavily on things that you used to per se, like medications or whatnot. And so when something tragic happens again, it's okay to recognize that you may have to go back to some of those things, but the amount of time that you're able to bounce back is so much shorter if you stop right now. Like if you're listening, you're like, oh, I'm good. Life is good. I don't really think I need to focus on anything specific. You know, with my well-being, I'm sure it would be nice, but I don't have the time to. But if you make that time now, and it's almost like you're preparing for a race that you're going to be getting to the starting line, Lord knows when. And it just makes such a difference in your ability to run that race with the endurance that I think we're required to have sometimes, and is why some people just throw their hands up like, I can't run anymore. You know, like, what's the point?
Sure. I mean, you brought up a few really good points. And I want to, maybe I'll work backwards from that. But first, let's take a break and then we'll come back to it.
Yes, perfect. We'll hear from one of our sponsors and then we'll come back and dig into whatever you're about to share with us.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. Vet Candy Life is a talk show hosted by well-being gurus Dr. Quincy Hawley and Renee Michelle. Each episode features expert tips, lifestyle advice, and real-life experiences from the most interesting people in the world. Check it out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and more.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Renee Michelle, and she is about to elaborate on a topic that we were just talking about regarding the need for well-being before and during when life throws things our way.
You touched a few different points and hopefully I can recall them. But one big thing is you had mentioned is those tools, right? So the tools in your toolbox, even if you're getting them out and using them for whatever temporary period of time that might be, whether it's a day, 3 days, maybe it's even 1 year or 3 years, right? And those coping skills, you're either going to have helpful, positive coping mechanisms that actually begin to solve problems, or you're going to have negative coping mechanisms that really just mask the symptoms. Smoking, drinking, eating poorly, distraction, avoidance, whatever the case is, right? And then you'll have the things that actually are tackling those problems. And maybe that's reflection, introspection, setting healthier boundaries. You know, maybe it's a medication, maybe it's CBT, like cognitive behavioral therapy. Maybe it's working with a coach. Maybe it's looking at your life as a whole, right? Because life tends to dump things on you, not when you are firing on all cylinders and like ready for it. Things start to get really challenging sometimes when you least expect it, and when you're already running a little bit low. I like to think of life, there's, if you Google the life wheel, it's like a wheel on a vehicle. And so if you're excelling in one area, but in the other seven areas or three areas or 12 areas, whatever, you're suffering. You're a rock star in your career or in school, but you have no social life. Or both of those things are firing on both cylinders, but you're diet and exercise, your nutrition, your physical energy is not up to par. You're kind of driving around in this flat tire, right? And you're correct. The people in this industry, we know this. The stats are there. We are many of the times coming into this industry with the similar personality types, and whatever has led us to the industry, we are caregivers. So whether it's that you like animals, you have a certain archetype, you have a certain personality type, we are caregivers through and through. And we begin to have those blind spots that we often don't prioritize. But the beauty in that resiliency that you were talking about is that it doesn't have to be that way for any duration of time. And that's where the choices come in, right? Is it doesn't have to take a diagnosis. This is the most powerful messaging. It doesn't have to take us getting to rock bottom and having the diagnosis of what potentially for many people can be a terminal illness in order to transform your life and your well-being. If you wait for vet med to start scheduling their appointments differently, you might be able to find another clinic, go work at a cat clinic or something if you were done with ER, right? Those things are human things that you should do, you know, but overall, you know, you get the point, right? Like, you can't change other people. You can't change the circumstances always, but you have it within your control.
Yes, I think that is such a powerful message. And I'm not sure why I feel like we resist to take on that message sometimes. I don't know if it's because it's like, oh man, there's another thing I need to see about now. I need to, you know, factor in this reprogramming of my mind.
We're conditioned to run on a certain operating system. So if we don't consciously choose to update the operating system, we would all be running on iOS 1, right? What do we know about our iPhones? I think I might have an iPhone 8, possibly, but my iPhone 4 doesn't get support anymore. There's no more updates that goes to that. I can't even get it to turn on. So if we as humans aren't changing our operating system, if we're still functioning on the same level of operating as we were as toddlers, which is kind of the case. And what did we learn as toddlers? Monkey see, monkey do. So we look around and this is what monkey see, monkey do is. I watch Mad Men. On Mad Men, they drink, they smoke, they distract, whatever. Like, that's the method to cope. Whereas if you start to listen to this, if you immerse yourself in this, people are going to monkey see, monkey do, start to adopt the behaviors and systems that Dr. Jessica uses, right? Because it's a choice. Here's a really great quote. I am not my thoughts. I didn't realize that early on in my living. Whatever was going on in my brain was who I was. But can't we agree that when we introduce ourselves, you being a veterinarian or your level of skill as a veterinarian isn't your core identity, right? Yet we get wrapped up because there's so much invested in it. You went to school for how many years? You went to how many hours? There's so much invested in it that it's sort of a trap. Like, it's a trap, you know, to where that's what our identities get wrapped up in, or the roles that we have or the masks that we play. And it just becomes this all-consuming thing. We're moms, or like, how many different hats do you wear in a day? You know, you're a mom, you're a significant other, you're a daughter, you're a doctor, you're an entrepreneur. all these different things, right? You're so many things. And I think that comes from our conditioning. We were asked from a very young age, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you get to choose one thing. That stifles us. It's completely limiting behavior and completely limiting belief system. And so we have to break those chains for ourselves. And you can do that through connecting with like your podcast, immersing yourself in all things well-being, because the negative inputs are going to be there. The news is going to be on, social media is going to be on, negative people are going to complain. You get to choose what you can focus your lens on. If it's like you think of like a radio dial, right? You can just change the station. That change into the station is the lens in which you're viewing your life through and the way that you go about, you know, operating through that lens.
I love the radio analogy, and I couldn't help. And it, I'm sorry if I offend any country fans, but I automatically thought of like a really sad country song, like just, you know, drink your problems away. Like that would be like one setting, like just being stuck in that like self-sabotaging, you know, mechanisms of coping and just drowning everything out, and then like turn it a little bit, and then you got like this upbeat pop, like, you know, joyful song that's like a 180, you know? So I just got that like imagery when you were saying that. I love it.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy. Vet Candy IRL is an exciting podcast from the hearts, minds, and mouths of Shannon Gregoire, Tatiana Rogers, and Lexi Rodriguez. The show celebrates inspirational role models and focuses on empowerment and equality. Check it out on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
My main question that kept popping up when I was listening to you and for our listeners: if we have someone that, say, is in a good space, you know, and is listening and is like, okay, well, maybe they've convinced me, you know, like I need to make this a priority, even though I don't have like a tangible thing that I'm working through. But what does that even look like? Where do I start?
That's a great question, right? You want better answers? Ask better questions. What does it look like? That's it. What does it look like? And better yet, what does it feel like? First, you got to make the choice that you're going to prioritize it. And you have to feel good about that, right? You have to shed yourself of the guilt that is going to naturally occur. And it's not going to happen just once. It's just like practicing medicine. You can't just shower once and be clean for life. You can't just spay one dog and expect everyone to be neutralized. You have to practice this stuff over and over. So expect to be making these decisions, you know, throughout the day, throughout the weeks. Expect that you're going to go to your default, which is to be unconscious and react, because you're an adult, you're 20, 30, 40, 50 years in, ingrained into these operating systems that we've talked about. And so expect for you to react in that way, but not to shame yourself into falling off the bandwagon and letting it all go. And then you sit down and you do some work in, what does it look like for me? What does it look like for me to have a higher sense of well-being, happiness, joy, moments of gratitude, moments of bliss, relaxation, fun, you know, financial independence, freedom, time? And those questions are going to be guided by the answers to what are your core values? If you're 20 years old, your values are going to be different than if you're 30 or 40, right? Because these are the natural chapters in our lives. So we have to look at what's important to us right now. That begins to shape the picture of what it looks like for you to have an ideal day or an ideal week, ideal month, ideal year. You know, probably through your health and fitness, that if you've had 20 years of eating poorly and you start to eat good for 3 days, you might not see those results straight away. And right now, what we're experiencing with technology is this immediate reward, immediate gratification. And so we have to recognize that these things take time. And so you set up systems in place that you can recognize and celebrate those successes. You're going to have a low point, but start a file and write down places where you've succeeded and you didn't think you were going to. Let's take my divorce, for example. I had never been through a divorce before. I was maybe young 30s. I'm so bad with numbers and years. Young 30s. We bought a house. You know, we had the dog and the cat, which to us, me, were kids. He wanted to go back home to Michigan. We were in North Carolina at the time. I didn't particularly want to go back home to Michigan. He was retiring from the military. And we were doing this all really amicably. But I didn't know what it looked like. And so once you start to define what it looks like, you can work with that.
Well, you're making me think of the importance of the questions we ask. And when you don't know what something maybe looks like, and you could get to a place where, okay, I think I want it to look like this, or say you like find someone that's going through something similar that has done it in a method that you would like to kind of follow suit. I think it's so important to be aware of how important those questions we ask surrounding that play a role in things. And so if you know that you're waking up to go into a surgery you've never done before, you're super anxious and you're a ball of nerves, and you wake up saying, oh my goodness, today is going to be horrible. Like, it's going to suck. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. But if you already play that tape in your head, that's all your brain is going to find is evidence to support why you're going to suck and why your day is going to be horrible. But if you wake up and instead recognize, okay, today's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be great because of this, and I'm going to excel in this, your brain's going to start looking for that evidence. And something as simple as just being aware of those questions that you ask and maybe stopping before you ask some of them and redirecting them is just so powerful.
Yes, you are spot on. And it's that self-reliance in trusting yourself to, you might not know the how yet, but you trust yourself enough to figure out the how. So with the divorce, the point of that was I had no idea how to do that and how to do it amicably, to where we didn't come out, you know, like very stereotypical divorces can go, right? Which is like bloodshed, you know? But we have to remember that we're human beings first and offer ourselves the same sort of compassion that we offer to our patients. That is where we have to give ourselves permission to do, because, and you know what? It is either, and maybe it's both, Brené Brown or Liz Gilbert, who talks about literally writing permission slips on post-its for themselves to do something. Going back to that conditioning is like you were giving a permission slip to use the bathroom in school. And so there's this permission slip to give yourself grace. There's a permission slip. If you need permission from someone, take it from us. We're giving you permission right now. You are allowed to put yourself first. Matthew McConaughey talks about it in his newest book, Green Lights, the egotistical utilitarian, meaning it's the oxygen mask theory. It means that if I'm happy and I'm well, it will serve the greater good. Most of the time, it's the opposite. We as caregivers think that if I can care for everyone else, all things are going to be good, and then maybe there'll be some left for me. I'm just suggesting that you flip the script. Care for yourself, put the oxygen mask on, serve your own well-being, and I promise you, and it might take some time, but if you're doing it in a mindful and compassionate way, it's going to come across as just that. I'm serving myself so that I can better serve you. You say to your wife, your husband, your employees, whatever. Like Jaylen is a practice manager who the business metrics will organically happen when you put well-being at the forefront. That's what she says. And it makes a lot of sense. And it's hard for sometimes people to grasp that, to move past the numbers, but it works.
Absolutely. I noticed such a tangible shift in my quality as a veterinarian, as a team worker, as a communicator, just everything across the board whenever I started making my own wellness a priority. So I've been out of practice for 5 years now, I think, or almost 5 years.
Did people like, was that contagious for your people? When you started to put your own well-being up top, did people jump on board?
Absolutely. And I had the opportunity to do relief this past fall for the clinic that I was at before. And a lot of the same people were there. And to see the shift in it was my main nurse, and she was kind of like our manager too. Like, she was a completely different person from before, but she would also talk about how I wasn't even close to the same person that I was, you know, just 6 years ago whenever we were working together. And it's just that compound effect, and it just kind of pours out into everything else that you do. And so I just want y'all to walk away being encouraged to remember that it's not going to happen overnight, because like you mentioned before, this is decades worth of programming that we're really not aware of. And so we can't undo that in a week.
Yeah, you can experience those small moments now. And just like you said, with the resilience, the bounce back effect gets smaller and smaller. So your recovery time might not be months or weeks or days, but instead you might recover from a fight with your spouse in a matter of hours. And those moments of bliss and joy and true well-being, they might just be these little blippets in time. But with mindfulness, it teaches us that that's all we have, is the moment right here, right now, to free ourselves from ruminating over the past and anxiety, worrying about the future, to bring ourselves rooted in the moment right now. And the more and more that you do that, those moments will expand into an hour, into a day, into a whole week, right? And we know that even when things look good on paper, like as we're looking at those life descriptions, whether it's setting appointments or whether it's being at home with the kids, you know that even when things look the same, it might feel drastically different, right? 27 appointments, man, that was a dog show, right? It feels like two people trying to win the Super Bowl. That was an analogy me and my chief of staff came up with one day, because that's what it felt like. It was awful. And then there's days where 27 appointments come in, same number, and you're like firing on all cylinders. Juices are flowing, right? So what are the differences there? And let's say the other night, two nights ago, I had Gavin, my infant. I was able to play with him, cook dinner, clean up a little bit, we took a bath, things of that nature. But the two nights before that, there was no dinner. It all looked the same. I was at home, Gavin was at home, we were done with our work, we were done with our play, but there was no dinner. Like, that was just not on the docket for that day. It was not happening. And so you really have to, you know, be able to switch that lens of what it looks like on paper with how it feels. That's what should be guiding you, is that feeling. Because otherwise, you know, the why is not congruent with where you want to be.
So I want to leave our listeners with a practical tip that they can walk away with. Something that has played such a huge role in my journey with wellness over the last 6 years. You've mentioned it already, but it's intentional gratitude and celebrating daily wins. And so they're different, but it's something that you can literally get off of this, you know, like turn off this podcast and implement on your drive home, in the office, wherever it may be. And I do recommend writing them down. I'm not the best at it. I've even called in my spouse or my business partner for accountability when I'm in like a really, you know, big slump that I can't get out of. And I'm like, make me text you my wins for the day. And they will. They'll hold me accountable. But I want you to stop and think about three things, you know, that you were grateful for that happened that day. It could be that you had, I don't know, a Starbucks coffee. But allow yourself to be present in that moment, even if it's just for a second, to kind of like relive it. And I highly encourage you to not get stuck in a gratitude rut where you just keep saying the same thing over and over. Because I think that's kind of a lot of people, you know, my husband and my kids, and, you know, we're obviously grateful for those things every single day, but it loses the effect when you don't force your mind to look at what else you're grateful for. And then with the wins, it's a little different because it's something directly tied to you, your ability to execute something or say no to something or whatever it may be during that day that you recognize is, again, a win, because we're so good at going to bed focusing on what we didn't do or what we screwed up on. And I do this at night when I need to kind of make, you know, that shift. It makes your brain focus on that positive when you're going to sleep, and you're so much more likely to wake up the next day kind of holding on to that positivity and that mindset of focusing on those things versus what am I going to mess up on today or what's going to go wrong today.
You're absolutely right. It shifts your responsiveness to rewards. And there is a shift in the brain, you know, when you're operating out of a state of stress or fight or flight or your reptilian, you know, amygdala, like I'm just trying to survive. But the survival is not from a saber-toothed tiger. It's from all the stresses and fears that we have, like, can I pay my bills? And you move into a state out of that and into a more, you know, depending on what you're trying to go for, but maybe the prefrontal cortex. But again, triggering the responsiveness to the rewards to have more of the feelings that you do want. And those, we are neuroplastic. Those are becoming the default operating systems. When you start to practice gratitude, you will start to look for more things to be grateful for. You'll go deeper and deeper and deeper, and you can share it with other people. And then when you have those celebrations of successes, the same thing happens, right? You're looking for reasons to celebrate. You're not looking for reasons to dog yourself. And we know you're right. Like the negative things, they tend to stick out more. But if we can just focus on the positives, then it flips it.
We'll be right back with more Vet Candy.
Hey, this is Dr. Quincy Hawley, and I'm here to tell you about a new show. It's Vet Candy Rounds with the Hawleys. That's right, Dr. Tierra, the love of my life, and I have teamed up to bring you the most fascinating cases in the world. Check us out on iTunes, Spotify, or a podcast platform of your choice, only on Vet Candy Radio.
Well, it has been an absolute blast. I want to make sure that our listeners know how to find you, how to learn more about what you do, if they're interested in your services, if you want to share that with them.
So you can find me at getmotivated.com. but also getmotivateduniversity.com. And we're on all of your favorite social media platforms. The Get Motivated University, or GMU, has a number of different resources, growing resources that you can take part in to really bring that into your own hands, your well-being into your own hands. We've also partnered with Vet Candy. We're sponsoring a new program to offer additional solutions to veterinary professionals. This is going to be different than what's on GMU, but these 8 modules, you guys can check that out at myvetcandy.com/wellbeing to learn more about that. That's going to come out this spring. So we are constantly just moving the target towards bringing more resources to the community. And we do a lot of work on Facebook and Instagram, but we're on all the different platforms, you guys.
So exciting. I can't wait to check out what y'all are doing with Vet Candy and those modules. I know it's going to be so helpful for so many people.
And before that comes out, you know, always check out GMU and Get Motivated, because there's a lot of different ways that you guys can work with us.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you again for being on today. I know that so many people are going to walk away with just a better understanding of the need and also how to start putting their wellness first and foremost. So thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners. I can't wait until next time. We always have the most incredible people coming on and sharing their hearts with you guys. And so you don't want to miss it.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Jessica. This was a really great conversation. I didn't know what to expect, but I love where it went. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
It's Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
Vet Candy.
It's Vet Candy Radio.